Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. Of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt, I have called my son."
When the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found. The story of tonight, the story of tonight.
I'm wearing eyeliner, guys. Come on now. Let me just start off by saying that you guys are blowing my Episcopal liturgical mind. There's not an organ in sight. You guys just use Hamilton. I may need to switch some. Just delete that part from the recording. Hang, okay. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt." Now, to dream is to have a series of images, ideas, and emotions that usually occur involuntarily during sleep or in math class. To dream is to have aspirations. Dreams fuel our motivation to keep going, keep trying. To dream is to hope, and hope is powerful. Hope will carry you through the middle of the night as you run across a border hoping to reach the land of the free. Hope is what thousands upon thousands of parents felt as they brought their children, their babies, to the United States hoping for a better life. Now, hope must have been what drove Joseph to get up on that night and escape a deranged ruler who wanted his child dead. Hope. Hope is what my parents had when they migrated from Mexico to the United States. Their dreams for a better life for my siblings and I made me a dreamer. Dreamer in the sense that I could dream of a life of endless possibilities and higher education. And a dreamer, a DACA recipient, hoping and fighting for the dignity of every human being as my own humanity is questioned by deranged rulers who act out of their own fear and hatred toward those who are different. Now, let's be clear. I, in no way, am comparing myself to baby Jesus. But if Joseph's homeland had been in Latin America, and he had to save his child by crossing a border, then that makes Jesus a first century dreamer. As a follower of Jesus, I need to believe in Jesus the dreamer, dreaming of a world where people really do love God and their neighbor as themselves. I need to believe in Jesus the rebel, marching and bringing forth the kingdom of God in a broken world by scattering the proud, bringing down the mighty from their thrones, exalting the lowly, feeding the hungry with good things, and sending the rich away empty. Words spoken by his mother in the Gospel of Luke. You see, I need to believe in that Jesus, because if I am to take Holy Scripture seriously, I realize that God's people have always been people on the move. People seeking freedom, liberation, justice. People moving from place to place, proclaiming God's love. Joan Merskin, author of the article, The Bible, Ultimate Immigration Handbook, challenged the reader to see the Bible as a migration story. He writes, "The Bible is the story of the uprooted people of God seeking safety, sanctuary, and refuge, and the living God giving directions for welcoming the stranger. From Adam and Eve to Noah, Abraham, Moses to Jesus, Joseph and Mary, they all found themselves on the move, migrating, looking for a better life. If we, God's people, are to be a people on the move, we must make sure that we are moving towards justice, not stagnant in our own comfort and privilege. People of God on the move bring hope in situations where hopelessness threatens to overpower one's will. For example, according to the Department of Homeland Security, as of March 2017, 787,580 individuals had been granted DACA. Individuals from Mexico were represented in the largest numbers, followed by El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Peru, and South Korea. 787,580 youth and young adults. Now, in September of that same year, 6 months after the Department of Homeland Security presented these numbers, the lives of those 787,580 individuals were put at risk when DACA was rescinded. Can you imagine the terror, anxiety, anger, depression, Of those 787,580 people who trusted the government and have adopted this country as their own? Now, for 2 years, these individuals have lived in a constant state of anxiety. Will everything we have worked for disappear tomorrow? Will I be deported and separated from my U.S.-born children? Will I need to drop out of college? Will I be sent to a country I do not know? Will I be forced back to the poverty and violence my parents escaped from? Can you hear the hopelessness in those questions? Can you hear the fear? If people of God stay safely inside the country club walls of their churches, instead of being the body of Christ in the world, those experiencing hopelessness will also experience the abandonment of those who claim to love them as themselves. If people of God, if people of faith do not stand up and disobey the orders of the empire like the Magi, 787,580 people will be removed from this country simply for being born on the wrong side of the border. Now, keep in mind, that does not include the millions of undocumented people in this country who migrated in the hope of finding a place to call home. If we, as followers of Christ and beloved children of God, do nothing to protect those who are being targeted, then we are not Christians. We're sellouts. We are the crowds watching the crucifixion of the innocent and turning around as they suffer alone on the cross. But if, as people of God, we are people on the move, if we truly live out our call as the body of Christ in this world, then those 787,580 DACA recipients, all of those unknown number of dreamers, all those millions of undocumented immigrants in this country, all of them will know that there are people of God, people of faith, fighting for them. And this gives hope. This gives you una esperanza que no estamos solos. The hope that we are not alone in the fight for justice. Brian Stevenson, the author of Just Mercy, recently said to a room full of Episcopalians, "Hopelessness is the enemy of justice. Our hope is critical to our capacity to change the world. Our world needs changing. Don't you want to be part of that? If so, get up, go, do." The presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, you might have seen him preach at the royal wedding. True story. Now, he says that the Episcopal Church is the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. I like that, right? The Episcopal Church is the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. So that means that y'all here at the table are part of the Methodist branch of the Jesus movement. And as a movement, we need to make sure that we are moving and doing God's work. Now, in the last month, you have heard stories of migration. Alexis Torres asked you to remember Ubuntu. I am because we are. We belong to one another, and part of our migration is to go home. So I would invite you to think of home as the place where all people can find safety, refuge, and liberation from the shackles placed on them. The Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Kwan shared his migration story, in which America became his home. but because of the xenophobic roots of the U.S., go back to your country, will always be a painful reminder that some of us will never be American enough. The Reverend Rina Ramos shared her memories of growing up in El Salvador during the Civil War, a war funded by the U.S. And she challenged you to see how failing to hear God's voice when in positions of power will always guarantee that cruelty will win. My migration story is one of millions of stories. I did not choose to leave Mexico, but I thank my parents every day for making that decision. They left their homeland. They left their family. They left everything they knew so I could have a better life. I was just 7 years old. And I ran across that border. What was promised to be a 30-minute run turned out to be more than 8 hours in the middle of the night, up and down hills. Trust me, I've always been a big girl. I don't run. And I make jokes because that's how I deal with my trauma. Because I cannot even... I cannot understand my mom's bravery, my mom's courage, as she carried my 3-year-old brother and held my hand. And hid from the Border Patrol. All because she wanted her children to have a chance. Now many people say, how could a parent do that? Why put your children in that position? Well, you know what happened? If my parents hadn't left, I'm not sure I would be here today. Because what I do know is that my uncle disappeared from his own home. All I could find was the blood-soaked sheets in his bed. Months later, they found his body. My parents left and brought us to the U.S. They risked everything so my brother and I could have an opportunity to dream, to hope, to live. I walked in here this morning and I saw this river, this border. It's a beautiful installation. And see how it divides you from one another. That is how I am divided from most of my family in Mexico. I cannot touch my uncle's hand through that wall because the holes are so little. I could not go back to bury my grandmother. My parents did what they thought was right, and again, I thank them every day. This is my migration story. This is how I got here. What is your migration story? How did you get here? Let me tell you one more, just to inspire your minds. I work in a sanctuary church, which means that we are physically housing someone in sanctuary. This young man left Honduras because MS-13 said to him, "You need to work for us." And he said, "No. You need to work for us." And he said no. He tried to go to the police, but guess what? The police are working with MS-13. So his only option was to run, to take the mother of his children and run, to cross border after border, hoping to come into this country, asking for asylum because his life and the life of his children were in danger, because he refused to break the law, because he refused to work with the cartels. In the process, he lost his family. But he finally made it to the U.S. And he came into the U.S. and asked for asylum. He turned himself in right away. And what did they do? They put him in a detention center, Adelanto Detention Center, where people are abused, where they are forced to self-deport due to the abuse they are enduring. It got so bad that some of his cellmates hung themselves. That was their way out. This young man is now in sanctuary. His asylum hearing is December 20th. As you all are getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season, think about this young man. Think about Alex. Think about how his life is on the line, because if he is deported back to Honduras, they will kill him. The two people that helped him escape Honduras were murdered and hung from a bridge to be set as an example. If he is made to go back, he will die. You know, I shouldn't be telling you his story, because it is his story to tell. But I tell it. I share it with you in this sacred space where this border is dividing some of you, so you can feel how real this is. Migration has always been a part of God's people's story. It's always been a part of our lives. We move from one place to another. Some of us have no choice. Some of us are made to move. But we are always on the move. I wonder what the next chapter in our migration story will be. Where will our dreams take us as we strive to be the people of God on the move? Jesus, the first century dreamer, Jesus who immigrated from the heavens to the earth and crossed every boundary, is our guide in this movement. Will you follow him? Will you allow yourself to be part of God's dream? Desmond Tutu describes God's dream as you and I, all of us, realizing that we are family, that we are made for togetherness, for goodness, and for compassion. Migration will always be the story of humanity. God's people will always be on the move. Now, we can choose. We can choose to move toward justice in God's kingdom. Or we can choose to move toward the richness of the empire that is only designated for those who move away from God. What will you choose?